Principle is the harmony of all activity in the universe. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Principle is the harmony of all activity in the universe. We think about principle, and we think about it in its esoteric and exoteric attitude, and we wonder to ourselves what the heck it means, because it is so much, so little and so big and so small and so everything, but we really don't know what principle means. But let's look at it and define it perhaps in another word. Music is the principle of the universe. All music is based upon the principle ideas. It's based upon mathematical equations, and mathematics also could be defined as principle, because it always works. It always functions. What is mathematics? What is the things that we're talking about here? What is music? What is principle? Well, we can say principle is that which is never changing. Principle is the cause and the effect of everything in one, not to be, not having been done, but the is. And it is like within each one of us is a genius, and each one of us can share this genius and express this genius, but we think it has to be developed. It has to be revealed. It has to be opened out and shown to the world. And of course, as long as we feel that way, then that's going to be the case. However, the moment we say, I know that I know that I know, and say it with all our heart, then it's so. It is fulfilled. It is done. But how many people can make that confession to themselves and stand up for it? How many people can say, I know that I know that I know, and then know it? They say, I know that I know that I know, now let's prove it to myself. Huh. You know, instantly by saying, I know that I know that I know, now let's prove it to myself, and it's lost. We were talking about the word trust, and I trust you. I trust that you're going to behave. I trust that you're going to be the kind of person that I know that you are. I trust that, which means we don't trust, which means we don't believe. Trust is non-belief. I trust that you're going to be home in time for supper tonight, but I kind of doubt it. And this is what we do with principle. This is what we do with the law. This is what we do with mathematics and music. We can know that mathematics are the most complete science that the universe could know, and mathematics are not what bind the universe, but they define the universe. They reveal what it is that makes the universe go round, what it is that makes the universe as a sound and an understandable circumstance, if you will, condition, experience, whatever you want to call it, because we could also call it an illusion. Because you and I, in our extreme ignorance, we look up into the sky and we say, look at the vast clouds, look at the vast sky, look at the vast panorama of planets, and look at the many stars and the sun, look at the galaxies up there, my goodness sakes, there's so much. And we say, that's reality. Well, that's no more reality than your body. And your body is decaying every day, falling apart every day, until one day you lay it aside because you've worn it out. Our body doesn't need to do that. When we say of our body that this is the temple of the living God, that every organ, action, function of our body is perfect, that our body is the living example of what we believe, and that it is indeed that, then our body has its immortality put into gear. when we look at the universe and we say the universe is constantly moving, constantly changing, it's black holes and it's white holes and it's establishment of how it starts and how it finishes and what's going on up there, and it seems so grand, so far beyond our finite awareness. Well, it is finite. The universe is finite. No matter how much we like to say it is so big, but to an ant, his world is finite. And he looks up at a human being, and he doesn't really see a human being. He doesn't have the capacity to encompass a human being at one glance. We say, oh, yes, he can, but he can't. He merely sees a shadow, or he sees a thing, but he has no idea how that thing operates. And you and I, in our stupidity and ignorance, we say what we see is what it is, and then we get out a microscope and we look at a drop of water and we say, my goodness sakes, we drink that sort of stuff? But that's nothing. Look at those virus, look at those bacteria in the drop of water, and you will find that they too have guests who are living with them. They too have homes in which they live, and they have experiences which they have, which are more minute than we can see with our standard microscope. And then as we look at them with the electronic microscope, we think, oh, great, we've really got a wonderful instrument here that can see deep, deep, deep into deep, deep, deep. Well, we our electronic microscope, as is presently created, has not the ability to see beyond the quark and the other names that we give to subparticles, because it goes deep, 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 deeper than that. We will probably never know it, because we will just have to give it names. And then, are those the names of everybody else, what they see it being, or are they not? Now, what is all this about? We say here, principle is the harmony of all activity in the universe. When we can take whatever we have, wherever we are, and bring harmony there, then we are wonderful. I wrote a letter to one of our friends who is in the prison, and he is an artist, as many of them seem to be. And he is an artist, and he wants to make birthday cards and Christmas cards so that he can send them, give them, or sell them, and have us print them and sell them to people. And I said, no, we don't do that. And he said, well, you know, it's kind of expensive taking all this time making up a Christmas card or a birthday card and selling it just for a couple bars of soap and so forth. And I said, well, use your head. I said, gain a skill at making the card appear very quickly and very beautifully without putting such infinite detail into it that you want to put into it. You want to put the color into it that is so fantastic, that takes so much time and character, and you want to blend those colors and do those things, which is very beautiful. However, you're not being paid for that. Now, every artist must be paid equal to whatever he can produce, right? No. If you are doing your art to be paid, you might as well forget it. We can go to the one example of our dear friend Michelangelo. And as Michelangelo is an exceptional artist, he did not waste his time filling in the space. He didn't waste his time painting the sky or the trees or the flowers or the birds or the bees that were around that he had in his great montage. He painted the beings, and he painted them with such magnificence, with such immortal, eternal appearance to them, that every generation that looks at them sees the power and the dynamics of this great expression. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a Christian experience or a Hindu experience or an Islamic experience or any other religion in the world. They could all have the same thing, and many do. But what Michelangelo did, he studied into his study, which was the Bible, and he learned from there what these people were supposed to be able to do. He could not ever see a picture of them. They say you can never see a picture of God and live, and yet we paint them up in the Sistine Chapel. My God, you know. And is that really God? It's as much God as anything else is. So Michelangelo did not limit himself to what he was paid for doing. He just reached out and did his magnificence. He reached out and did what he could do because he was intuitively in harmony with the universe. The principle is harmony. Harmony is the harmony of all activity in the universe. So what Michelangelo indeed was doing, he was painting the principle. He was painting that which was the material that held together the whole Bible story. And just as his idea was the finger of God reaching out to the finger of Adam, bringing life into Adam. Well, Adam was already reaching out. He must have already had life in him. But this was such a sensitive, caring point that made that so profound. And you see, this is what gives meaning to principle. It gives meaning to these things that we're all so interested in knowing about. It gives meaning to our life. Gives meaning to our direction in life. And like I said to our friend in prison, I said, JJ, what do you want to do? You want to be expressing the magnificence that's within you, not limited to a greeting card, not limited to something that somebody's going to pay you for with a couple of bars of soap or something, but it's going to be an expression of the principle, an expression of the majesty and the magnificence that you are in the art. And anyone who looks upon it will instantly see the grandeur of it. Now, Herb, what are you talking about? Well, if any of you have ever studied art, if you've ever taken art appreciation classes, in the art appreciation classes, part of the training is to take you into the purview, into the study of what the artist did before he did what he did. Mm-hmm. And so you see the sketchings that he did. You see the layouts that he did. You see the ideals which were not carried through in the final picture, because that was just something to whet his appetite, begin his thinking. But each one of those sketches would be one that would win a Pulitzer Prize if they gave it for that purpose. But because it was a man of majesty at work, a man of illumination at work, a man who is a genius painter, to use such a mundane term like genius. But he is an intuitive, illumined painter. And who is another one like him? Leonardo da Vinci. Mm-hmm. Leonardo da Vinci drew sketches in his sketchbook. And when he got tired of drawing what he was drawing, then he'd sketch something that came to his mind, like an aqueduct, how to move water through the cities and over the area. He would draw a helicopter, for which there was no engine, and for which there was no aerodynamic principle to give him any guidance. But yet he drew it in keeping with the modern technology of helicopters. He drew submarines, for which they had no way of bringing air down into the vehicle that was going under the sea, and let the person breathe while he's down there. But he made it out of iron. But now, what's going to hold it up? The person going to hold it up as he walks along? Or is it going to be on a cable or something? Are they going to pump air down into him? Well, in a way, he described some of those things, but mainly, it's a concept. He was not a man before his time, but he was a man in tune with the universal. He was in tune with principle. He was in tune with everything. And because he was in tune with everything he drew, because he was skilled, was a work of art, was something absolutely magnificent. And this is where we want to step in. Principle is the harmony of all activity in the universe. We want to understand what principle means. We want to understand how we can use principle to live our life. I give each of you so many opportunities to live principle. And the first thing you do is to fight me tooth and nail and say, but you don't understand. And that's true, I don't understand. And if I understood, I could not teach you. If I understood your limited attitude about why you cannot do something, I couldn't teach you. But I see through you, past your limited attitude, to the magnificent being that you are, unlimited, able to accomplish any goal in your heart. But you see, there are not many people who will take the time to fight you, as I do, and go with you and suggest that you look at your higher nature, you look at the beauty that you are, you look at the principle at work in you, and stop trying to say, I got to do it all by myself. I'm the only one that can do anything. I've got to do everything all by myself. And when you say that, you get nothing done. But when you listen to the divine in you, and then you start thinking the divine in you, and then the music of the universe just flows through your sensitivity, and you have that wisdom, you have that perception, you have that understanding that a Michelangelo had, a Leonardo da Vinci has, and a Beethoven, a Bach, you know, all the greats. Why is it that the music of today will come and go? Because the music of today touches a few souls, not all. I must admit, in Bach, Beethoven, and the other great artists' lives, they were not appreciated all the time either. They gave their renditions as simple little things for birthday parties and things like that. I mean, we would say to ourselves, oh my God, what a wonderful birthday party to have Beethoven there. But it was like that. It was like that. And they didn't have a humility because they didn't need it, because they didn't think they were good. They thought that was fun to write the music. They thought it was fun to write the stories that they wrote. And you know, in speaking about fun and writing stories, you take an author and he writes a story, like Richard Bach in Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And he wrote the story finally, and then he presented it to publishers. And the publisher says, too juvenile, too infantile, too unrealistic, too much out of sync with the world as it is today. But he persisted. I mean, that was his story. He persisted. And he finally found a publisher who would take it. Now, the publisher who takes it said, we are very courageous because we're taking this piece that has got a lot of little negatives about it, you know. But then they took it and they published it. And it became a magnificent experience. They put film pages inside to show the seagull in flight and show him moving. But nobody ever looks at those seagulls. The seagulls were meaningless. It was the words. It was the words that captured the reader. It was the words that lifted the hearts of all humanity as they read it, and of youngsters, and said, hey, that's me, Dad, like my son said to me. That's my life. That's what I believe. And in Illusions, the second book after Jonathan, in the Mechanic's Journal, he wrote on the greasy pages the introduction to his story. And the introduction to his story was such a fabulous, powerful, meaningful concept that we read it without seeing the greasy pages and the lines from the mechanics book. And we only see the words, and we see the clinging individual letting go and being bumped by the current in the rocks, but finally being free, floating away into his own infinity. You see, when we follow principle, and that's what Richard Bach was following, he was following the principle of listening to the divine within himself and saying exactly what came without trying to interpret it in the process. Because had he tried to interpret a seagull playing the role of Jesus Christ, in, as a matter of speaking, you know, it would have been ludicrous beyond words. But this was a seagull being a spiritually illumined being, doing his own thing with the greatest humility you could ever imagine. And this was the art of what Richard Bach brought forward. Whether he realized it or not, it didn't matter. But it came from him, so you can be sure that that's who he is too. Now, what's going to come from us? Are we going to find our forte in life, what it is that makes us who we are? Are we going to find that goal for ourselves, that principle that sets us on fire and drives us to great expectations and great revelations? We can. When do you want to start? When do you want to go on that journey? I would say right now. And that journey is not leaving wherever you may be. It's not taking time to do anything. It's doing it in everything you do. We return once again to Brother Lawrence in practicing the presence. He scrubbed the floor because he believed he was working in the monastery and he was doing it for Jesus. But he did it for what he felt was his highest nature. And to him came illumination, because his purpose, his way of doing it, his reason for doing it was so pure, so beautiful. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you are, but it's how you live what you are. These are the things that make the difference. These are the things that show that principle is the harmony of all activities of the universe. And we want to tie into principle and be aware of it and use it and enjoy it and have the time of our life enjoying life to its fullest. Have a lovely evening, and I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay.